Good morning, church. Before, thank you, Stephen, for reading the Word of God that was read from the ESV. And, you know, last week, we missed a few of you who couldn't make it for the camp. You know, we had a blessed time at GPL, learning from the Word of God and also fellowshipping and looking at how it is to be living as citizens of heaven on earth. We were more practical in a lot of things that we heard. So today's sermon, you know, today's sermon is not much different, in fact. It touches and builds on a few pointers from the camp. Before the camp, Pradeep spoke on something interesting. In our care group, we couldn't get through just, I think, 1.5 verse or 2 verse. We couldn't get through it because everybody was just sharing with a lot of things the Lord was putting on their hearts. Kids, do you remember what Pradeep Uncle spoke? There's one child saying, yeah, obey your parents, right? Parents and children relationship, right? Thank you. So from the book of Ephesians, we studied through time who we are in Christ. We also studied what it is to walk in holiness and a new way of life in Christ. We also learned why we need to walk in love, to walk in light, to walk in the Spirit. Only when brothers and sisters, if anybody is already feeling tired, just go freshen up and come back. Only when we live in the light, live and walk by the Holy Spirit, only then can we have meaningful relationships in Christ. I'll repeat that. Only when we live in the light, live and walk by the Holy Spirit, then only we can have meaningful relationships in light, led by the Lord. We looked at the wives and husbands relationship. Is that true? Right? Yep. Even those of you who are single over here, we hope that sermon was good for you. Charles Shan spoke on it. Then we spoke about children and parents, a relationship number two. And today we're going to look into slaves and masters. And what in this relationship, what does Christ expect out of us? And the portion is a small little portion, but very deep as we ask the Lord to speak to us. Just a few engaging questions. Nobody needs to lift your hands up, but just some generic questions just to keep our mind running. How many of us sitting here were once employed or are employed? Don't lift your hands. Okay, don't lift your hands. By the way, this is not an HR session. I know the HRs will love this session. Second is, how many of us have employed someone to work with us or under us for a specific project, a company, or a specific role? Third question, how many of us outside our workspace, this is work, outside our workspace, where we've employed people to do a specific task? Either it's for you or for your family, or to teach your children, or even in your homes to do some errands. Have you employed someone? Now let's ask the students over here. How many of our students, the younger ones, and to the college ones, would one day like to be an employee or an employer? If most of us fall in one or more category, this sermon is for you. The sermon is for you. By the way, this sermon is not a work-life balance sermon, okay? This is purely what Paul spoke in Scripture. But you know what? In Scripture, you know that word bondservant? I actually struggled with this word called bondservant. A little crude. Isn't that true? HR managers, all of you who write policies, crude, no? You don't write bondservant. You are a slave of this firm. You don't write that, right? That's not the lingo of these days. That's not the vocabulary of these days. Slaves, oof, masters, you know, just doesn't feel right, right, Polly? Something off about it. Polly says, I can't work, you know, yeah, meaning that's absolutely right. That's exactly what I felt. Strong words. But just a bit of biblical history on the word slavery, okay? Don't take it off. Please don't. I'll just clarify all of this. The Old Testament does make provisions for Jews to have slaves. Slavery was in fact universally practiced in the ancient Near East and was accepted in the form of slaves and masters. But the Levitical law, the law of Moses, says that masters did not have absolute rights over their slaves or the abuse of slavery. And you know, the scripture is so beautiful, so rich, that it affirms the full personhood, dignity, and rights of a slave along with their masters. You can see it in Deuteronomy, the book of Job. You will see in Exodus. You will see in Leviticus. You will see in the book of Timothy, Titus, and a beautiful book based on a slave-master relationship. Any guesses? Philemon. Amazing, right? How beautiful scripture is. But at the same time, slavery also existed in the Roman world during the New Testament time. Across the Roman Empire, 80 to 90% of the inhabitants of Italy and Rome and the Kingdom of Rome had slaves or had slave origin. Well, we are not talking about the American slavery over here, okay? That was evil. That was wicked evil, and many born-again believers even practiced that evil of slavery, where someone was taken, robbed from their homes, including children, and made to work as slaves. They were commodities, and that's not the slavery Paul talks about. Slavery in the Roman Empire was not widely based on skin color, country, caste, or creed. In fact, the Roman slaves had rights and privileges. Many of them had rights and privileges. They could earn, they could marry, they could save money, or even purchase their freedom. But in some cases, they had no rights. In the Roman history, they say that slaves could become highly trained and professional, in fact. Some became administrators. Even in scripture, we see some of the slaves who became administrators, right? Teachers, professors, and physicians, and some of them led good, healthy homes. Now, brothers and sisters, here's our context. Now, because slavery was, slaves and masters were present right throughout the Roman Empire, it's not surprising that there were slaves and masters in the churches that Paul was teaching. You got it? The context you saw? The New Testament church had a background of members who were slaves or from slave origin. Members who would have been masters, who are training to start up a business and who's going to appoint slaves. Well, just one more thing. Who played a huge role? Just pop quiz. Who played a huge role in the abolition of slavery? William Wilberforce. Read his biography. Unbelievable. In fact, he and the Prime Minister of UK, then I forgot his name, a young man, they prayed and they prayed, and William Wilberforce took it forward about the abolition of slavery. Read his biography. Brilliant. About reformers. But Paul, in any of his scripture, does not promote slavery or the abolition of slavery. You know what Paul was concerned about? Just like Jesus, he was more concerned about the reforming of the inner man. That's what he was concerned about. And more about the gospel than anything else. You know, in 1 Corinthians 7:23, Paul tells Christians not to become slaves. And in 1 Corinthians 7:21, he encourages slaves to gain their freedom. So keep in mind, Paul pastored and spent time and taught slaves and masters, probably sitting just like this. So can we do something? Can we switch that lingo? Masters, we will equate it to employers. Now it's much more digestible, right? Masters, we're going to switch it to employers. And slaves or born servants, we're going to switch it to employees. Everybody happy? Yeah? So let's call employer-employee relationship. You know, when we look into the passage as Stephen read, Ephesians 6, 5 to 8, we will look at the first part. We're going to look it into two different sections. Paul first gives instructions to slaves or to employees, okay? Then he gives an instruction to masters or the employers. Paul gives one command to the slaves, to the employees, and then he suggests four different ways of responding to the command and gives one reason why we should obey that command. Okay? So let's look at the first command that is right in this portion. Okay, I'll just go back. Yep. It says bond servants. So this is just to employees. Okay, instruction to employees. Bond servants. Look in your Bible. Can you just read it? Verse 5a. Bond servants, obey. Bond servants, obey your earthly masters. We'll stop it for there. Bond servants, obey your earthly masters. And later on, he says in that same verse, as you would Christ, or as unto Christ, right? Do you see that? It's embedded in there. Bond servants, obey your earthly masters as unto Christ. You know, brothers and sisters, obedience is actually essential to please God. You know, the words unto Christ. All of you who are staffed and who will be staffed soon, all of our kids who are preparing to be staffed and our younger ones who will be staffed, remember that your obedience at your workplace is unto Christ. Our work should be as if I'm working for Jesus, because we are. We are employed by Him. He is a true heavenly and earthly master, whether you have a boss who's short-term or long-term. Anyone who has authority over us, we are called to obey them. You know, but sometimes we justify, right? Isn't that true? Sometimes we justify. Half-hearted service we give. Sometimes we don't like that aggressive manager. Sometimes that micromanaging style, right? We don't like it. Woman boss, oh my goodness, you know? Correct, no? We might not say this, but this runs in our minds. Is that true? Oh, he or she is clueless, yeah. They come from a different world. You know, these are the demeaning thoughts running in our heads. He stinks. I don't like going and talking to him. He's a fool. Hence, I will respond half-heartedly. I don't care. You know, brothers and sisters, this is how the world responds. This is how unbelievers respond. But how should members of CBF respond? And you know how beautiful scripture is lined up. Even in the teachings of the Lord and even the teachings of Paul, it's mentioned. Colossians 3, 22 and 23 says, bond servants, obey in all things your masters, as to the Lord and not to men. 1 Timothy 6, 1 says, let as many bondservants are under the yoke, count their own masters worthy of all honor. Worthy of all honor. So that the name of God and His doctrine may not be blasphemed. You know, Titus 2, you can open your Bibles. Those of you who've got your Bibles, open your Bibles. Titus 2, 9 to 10 says, slaves must obey their masters and do their best to please them. And it's very clear that they must not talk back or steal, but they must show themselves entirely trustworthy and good. My dear brothers and sisters, our godly obedience expresses and demonstrates our true Christian service to our heavenly master. CBF, brothers and sisters, even dear ones who are visiting us, God is sovereign. I just want to make this statement very clear. Prayerfully, God is sovereign in placing you with that same exact manager, the same exact boss, for His glory and for His purposes in your life and even in their life. Isn't that amazing? If He's sovereign over Saturn and the rings of Saturn spinning, if He's sovereign over the gazelle that needs to be fed, if He's sovereign over every detail, He's sovereign over placing that same manager in your life. It's, you know, maybe that's the manager's place there just to sanctify you so that you would be dependent on the Lord. A Christian employee's service to Christ should be reflected by one of true obedience to your earthly master, your employee. But there are times when some actions contradict scripture, right? Do not obey. Pray, discern, speak with people as to what needs to be done. You could also get fired at your job. That is fine. Anything that is against the will of God and against Scripture, do not obey. But, as Paul says, obey your earthly masters as unto Christ. It's a simple command. When you see your manager on Monday, remember, obey. Just obey as unto the Lord. Now, Paul says there are different ways of responding to this command. Okay? And brothers and sisters, can you just pick up a few? Can we see? Bond servants, obey your earthly master. The first way of responding, what do you see? Yeah, with what? With fear and trembling. You know, fear and trembling normally happens when appraisals happen. Is that true? You know, but in the NKJV says, it is with respect. You obey with respect, with awe, with honor, with fear. And in Paul's days, masters would seek control, would seek to control their slaves' life, and they do it with fear. But Paul teaches something very interesting. It is not the fear of the master, it is the fear of God. Every believer should have godly fear, not the terror of your manager, as an unbeliever experiences. An unbeliever experiences the mercy of the manager. Is that true? But we don't experience that. Well, maybe there are a few ones here who are treated wrongly at work. Maybe you've lost your jobs. Maybe they've just been biased because of your faith and what you demonstrate at your workplace as unto the Lord. Because you have godly fear and reverence as unto Christ. You're subject to them. You're subject to them. You know, church, when you serve your earthly boss, have an eye towards the greatness, the glory, the majesty, and the holiness of God while giving your best. Okay? An eye towards pleasing your heavenly master in heaven, your father. There's a high probability that you would also be a blessing to your team, to your project, and also to your earthly master. The second thing, what does Paul teach? With fear and trembling. The second one, are you able to pick that out? What more is? Serve him sincerely, with sincerity of heart. So with fear and trembling, not because you're scared of the person, because you fear God. Two is with the sincerity of heart. I think in one of the versions it says the singleness of heart. You know, obedience with integrity and sincerity and with goodwill to their employers. Other versions also talk about it. Sometimes we give our heart so much of credit. You know, is that true? Oh, yaar, I'm doing my best, man. You can ask me, yaar. I mean, correct, no? We'll say all of that. But you know what Proverbs 16:2 says? All the ways of a man are clean in his own sight, but the Lord weighs the motives. Jeremiah 17:10 says, I, the Lord, search the heart. 1 Samuel 16:7 says, this was the moment when Samuel goes to appoint whom? King David, right? And God says, Samuel, I just have a bit of coaching for you here. God sees what you cannot see. For man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. You know, there's a very scary portion, okay? As I was preparing, it just hit me really hard. Psalm 44 verses 21. It says, God knows the secrets of your heart. Wow. You know, the heart is the center of our being, right? Where attitudes and actions come from. You know, the employee's heart, each one of you, you and me, right? Including those of us who are in ministry or probably serving a non-profit and even a ministry. This is how we should be. With full of pure motives, wanting the goodwill of his or her boss, manager, team lead, business unit, and for their company. Okay, I'm just trying to make it as real as we can. CBF members, do not be guided by any unpure motives, because that is against the sincerity of heart. You know, we were reflecting through a couple of weeks, right? If we are filled by the Spirit of God, then our relationships would be productive, right? Correct? Is that true? So pure motives and a sincere heart can only happen if we are filled by the Spirit of a holy God and we respond it to daily. Ephesians 4, 25 and 28 says, Paul urges Christians to do honest work, put away all falsehood and work with integrity. And probably he's teaching that because he's probably sat and discipled some of these slaves and coming to realize actually the issue is the issue of the heart rather than the master. Honest, genuine and truthful. Church, do we serve every day when we go to work, when we do our specific responsibilities or tasks given to us, even sometimes tasks within the church? Does this describe of how you and me work? Do we really invest with pure motives in our mind and in our heart? Or, can you see a heart full of anger, bitterness, jealousy, discontentment or pride or even sometimes laziness? We love to receive those salaries, but if God puts those salaries on a scale and he says, Steve, I'm just using your name, okay? Steve has got Target, okay? It's a joke, Steve works at Target, you know, so, okay? He puts a salary on the scale and says, Steve, how much have you worked this week? This God sees our impure motives, our laziness and a lack of sincerity and not wanting goodwill for the boss and the manager. If you're going through such a mindset, brothers and sisters, ask the Lord to help you. Surrender and confess your sins. Pray that as you get into work, you know, surrender all that you are. Pray for your team, your manager, and change the place that you are because you are filled by the Spirit of God. As you serve your earthly boss, let sincerity of heart be seen there. Everybody says, man, that man or this woman is just unbelievable at work. I want to get to know what they believe in, what they believe in, as you would unto Christ. So we saw two things, right? The first thing that we saw was with fear and trembling. Second is with sincerity of heart. Brothers and sisters, are you able to spot the third one? Use your Bibles. It is just right. It's right there. Okay? If someone does not have a Bible, look into your neighbor's Bible. Yes, yes, yes. Yes, Rachel, yes. Not with eye service, not as people pleasers. The third, slaves are not to obey when their masters are just watching. Yep. Maybe I'll just leave it there and we'll come too late, okay? Do not work when people watch you. Sometimes we do that, no? When the boss is just going to walk around. You know, full notes that this, everything is like, you know, sudden, and then the boss goes back, suddenly the sound on the desk kind of reduces. Do we do that, right? Everybody are like really hardworking people here, meaning, you know, Paul says, I like how Paul beautifully says, how you work matters to the Lord. How you work matters to the Lord. Even when your boss or anybody else is not even seeing, how you work matters to the Lord. Kids, how you study for your exams is going to come in the next 2 months matters to the Lord. Not when your dad or mom says, sit and study. Okay, yeah. You know, I'm just saying, you know, work unto the Lord. Paul teaches that we cannot go to work and do little as possible. But this is not how we serve Christ. Christians, believers are supposed to be different. Our work attitude and culture must be different from the world. Why? Because we serve our heavenly master. A lot of HR professionals here, I believe. You would love the statistics. Okay? As I bring out the statistics, it convicted me of my sins. The blind company, which is not like blind, they do employee surveys, okay? And the statistics of labor division, they've done some survey. It says 45% of people 45% of people only work for 4 hours. Some even less a day. Now, how do they use this time? Some of the biggest investments, even in the hybrid model, is, okay, I know some of you are already smiling, okay, because you don't know whether it's going to be set out, right? Like, you know, so one is lunch, food. Ordering food takes now a lot of time. Organizing food and eating snacks, including birthday events. Reading the news. Discussing non-work related things with co-workers. Mostly gossip. Checking social media, updating Facebook and statuses. Texting. Searching for new jobs. What a perfect place to, free internet, the AC is there, you know, I'm just completely focused today to look for a new job. At my job, okay? Making calls to friends. I have done this. Sometimes I just feel led to pray for you. But how are things going otherwise? You know, we can, you know, and probably sometime goes in that. Making calls to friends, parents, and sometimes spouse. Using the restroom. Restroom is clean. Some people visit multiple times. If you're at home, hybrid, cooking. Kids are at home and home chores. Now, my dear brothers and sisters, just to say it honestly and bluntly, even to myself, hard work and manual labor is honorable in the sight of God. Proverbs 12, verses 11, you know, I would just encourage you all to just go study these verses. It says, whoever works his land. Now, remember this. If there's many of you who are not putting hours, healthy hours at work, not serving the Lord well, if many of you are struggling with your finances and probably there are issues of how you're dealing with, look at these verses. Whoever works his land will have plenty of bread, but who follows worthless pursuits lacks sense, says Proverbs, says the author of Proverbs 12. Titus 3:14 says, and let our people learn to devote themselves to good works so as to help causes of urgent need and not be unfruitful. Proverbs 14:23, very convicting, okay? In all toil there is profit. In all toil there is profit. But mere talk tends only to poverty. Oof. Tough one, yeah. Colossians 3:23 says, whatever you do, work heartily as for the Lord and not for men. You know, there is something that as I was preparing, we struggle when the bosses, right? They don't give us a fair appraisal, right? We struggle, right? And we feel that the company is not fair. Some benefits are given, some benefits are not given. But keep in mind, Proverbs 11 verse 1 says, the Lord detests the use of dishonest scales. We can see probably the dishonest scale there, but look into, are we dishonest with this, with the same scale that the company has given to me? Have I been using those times well and investing and serving the Lord well? So the Lord probably sees this entire measure and probably giving you the fair rating. And Proverbs 20:23 says, the Lord detests double standards. You know, brothers and sisters in CBF, it should be said of every Christian sitting here that he or she is a hard worker and gives his employer a full day's work worth for his wages. To do anything less is equivalent to stealing. Ten Commandments, thou shall not steal. Remember, we serve our Heavenly Master. The last thing that Paul says is with the posture of a bond servant. You know, such a foundational motivation that Paul says, you know, under all of this, you have to understand that you are a servant or a slave of the Lord Jesus. You know, I've not read this book, but I would recommend us to read this book. It's called The Gospel at Work. I just read a few a few extracts and articles of this, and I found it's a lovely book. I've not read it. It's by two authors, co-authors called Sebastian Traeger and Greg Gilbert. I'm just going to read it out for us, okay? A quote over there. It says, "The world will tell you that life finds its meaning in success at work, or that work is just a necessary evil on the path to leisure. All those ways of thinking are lies. You work for someone beyond your boss. You work for Jesus. The fact is, the most important thing you can know and remember about your work, it is much more important than the job itself. No matter what you're doing to glorify Jesus. Work is just work. But when you do it for Jesus, it becomes worship. When you do it for Jesus, it becomes worship. Jesus is your boss at work. Even when you're changing jobs or when you're looking for work, please understand, or those of our dear ones who are applying for jobs, remember, your heavenly master will open the right doors for you. Jesus is your boss. What a perspective for us to have. You know, this week, I think it's this week, you know, my Gabby bought, you know, she came home and she was telling something about her what her teacher had done in the class. By the way, the couple of students over here, there's Gabby, there is Joshua, there is Eva, and there is Marco. And you know what the teacher did? Her name is Shirley John. She was telling them about how Jesus washed their disciples' feet. And then later on, I got a, you know, Preeti got a image where this teacher is just washing the feet of these children. It just blew my mind. That's not part of her, you know, understand, that's not part of her curriculum even to teach properly. You know, they're moving for ministry purposes, but I was just moved by this teacher washing her students. They're hardly, 4 years old. They might even forget this, but what a posture to have as a slave of Christ, as a servant of the Lord, just trying to teach the next generation. And I'm just saying is, even the teaching that school blessed kids in our church, as a slave of Christ. 2 Timothy 2:15, 17 says, "Work hard so you can present yourself to God and receive His approval. Be a good worker, one who does not need to be ashamed and who correctly explains the word of truth." You know, sometimes there might be a few of us here who wants to be the boss of your life, right? You want to control everything that happens in your life. You know, Galatians 4 verse 7 says, "You are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then a heir through God." If there's any one of you sitting here who you think that you can control your lives and control matters of your life, you will fail. You will fail because of the sin that is present in your life. You have no control about your tomorrows. Maybe you might have a job, but what about your eternal life? What about your eternal life? You know, you and me have sinned against this holy God, this righteous God. But if you want to be a child of God, then you can become a child of God when you accept Him. You commit everything about your life, saying that Jesus, by your death on the cross, I surrender and I have no control over my life. You're not only the boss of my life at work, but you are the master of my physical and my spiritual life. What you could do is trust Jesus, God's perfect Son, trusting that His death on the cross was a substitute for you. Repent and turn to Jesus. I love Jesus to be the Lord of your physical life, your work life, and your spiritual life, dear ones. You know, we looked at the one command Paul gave, right? And you can discuss this further in your care groups. Then we looked at Paul suggested 4 ways of responding to the command. And finally, Paul gives 1 reason why they should obey the command. Do you see why? Do you see why in the last portion? It's not here. It's in your Bibles. You see, there's a heavenly reward. Verse 8. knowing that whatever good anyone does, this he will receive back from the Lord, whether he's a bondservant or is free. God will reward them for the good that they have done. If Jesus is your ultimate master, your master watches every detailing of your life from Monday to Friday. His eyes are over you guys and over me as well, over each one of us. You know, sometimes the feeling of injustice and the sense of fairness often leads us to do things that hurt the heart of God, right? But also keep in mind, it not only hurts the heart of God, your testimony in that workplace also gets affected, and the gospel is being put in bad light. Second Corinthians 5:10-11 says, whether you're home or away, we make it our aim to please him. And it says, so that each one may receive what is due for what he has done in the body, whether good or evil. Brothers and sisters, at the final judgment, every Christian, born-again Christian, even the work that you've done at your workplace, every Christian employee will be rewarded for the good that they have done. God has different ways of doing, but we will be judged. You know, I remember in my first company, Mafor, that's when I started. You know, I'll be honest. I used to take stationery. I still have a stapler at home, and it haunts me even now. It haunts me even now that I've taken. It is still there at home. When I was in a school called St. Joseph, there used to be a friend of mine. No, not in St. Joseph. In Kerala, I'd taken 92 rupees from a friend, not having the motive of returning back. Still today, that number hits me hard. It hurts me that I've sinned against. You know, my motive was unpure. I hope we will not be judged in any other way, church. But at the final judgment, remember, God will look at our deeds and will call it out. And you know what's quite sobering? Majority of our time is spent at work. Majority of our time is spent at work in different forms. Paul urges us that nothing goes unnoticed and that nothing will be left unacknowledged. You know, another truth that Paul writes is that the rewards will be given whether slave or free. Okay? You know, how our sovereign Lord, our heavenly master, evaluates, he sees everything we do at work. There is no special treatment or favoritism according to God. Everyone will be judged equally. All forms of good works will be judged. All forms of impure motives will be judged. God sees every act of kindness, every act of selfishness. God sees whether we are working hard or we are lazy. He sees the way we serve our bosses, our managers, our projects. You know, I liked what Jim said. You know, when he comes early, half an hour to pray, do they see that we as a church pray for our companies, pray for our projects, pray for our bosses? And they know that, you know, it's worth telling the plans of this company to this person because they will pray. They will pray. God will reward whatever good anyone does, and he will reward every worker according to his due wages. 1 Corinthians 15:58, all these verses will be there in the PPT. He says, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. And Paul says, your toil will not be in vain. Bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. Colossians 1 verse 10 and Romans 8:28, we love that verse, right? And we know that God causes all things to work together for the good of those who love God, to those who are called according to his purposes. Remember, church, a heavenly reward awaits us. We should live and work in the light of eternity in Christ's judgment as citizens of heaven sojourning on this earth. Coming to the short passage that is right after that, we just have one verse to look at. Instruction to masters, employers. I'm pretty sure there might be few masters over here, or managers over here, or team leads over here, or who also are involved in hiring people and keeping them under you. Is that true? There are people over here, right? You know, and Paul gives a few instructions to these masters. What does he say? Masters, do the same to them, right? Is that true? Can we look at verse 9? Can we look at verse 9? Masters, do the same to them or treat them in the same way. Paul is saying, all that I taught the slaves is equivalently true to all the masters. You know, just imagine the environment in that church. When Paul was preaching to the slaves, the masters were like, good job, Paul. It's like the husband's wife's, you know, this passage. You know, all the everybody like, listen. When the husbands think come, be like, you know, very keen to hear what Charleston had to say, right? But Paul addresses the masters when their slaves are sitting right there. At that time, the slaves have said, yes, this is our time. This is time for justice, you know. So Paul urges the masters that they should treat their slaves with the same kindness and fairness that the slaves treated them with, right? Paul also tells them, do not terrify your slaves. Do not terrify your employees. They should, in fact, respect and care with sincerity of heart and goodwill, just the same way that you expect them to respond to you. And the slaves and masters are all doing everything unto God Himself. So, friends and sisters, if you have people with you at work or under you, you're not called to threaten them. You need to be kind, gentle, patient. Let the fruit of the Spirit of God be seen by your team under you. Have respect and dignity for them. They might come from broken families, broken homes. They might be single moms. There'll be men who would have faltered and have failed. But you're called to respond to them as a child of God. You know why? There's no partiality in the eyes of God. Romans 10:12 says, for there's no distinction between Jew and Greek. Even when Paul is teaching, he's very clear. Masters and slaves, you will hear the same sermon together because there is no partiality in the eyes of God. Romans 2:12 says, for there is no partiality with God Himself. Remember, brothers and sisters, God the judge is impartial. There is no bias with Him. You know, he's not impressed by appearance or how many people you supervise, how much of billions you've brought to your company. That all is good works. But what he's also watching is that how you're treating your employees. He judges without regard to wealth, position, educational status, and bank balance. Masters, therefore, or employers or businessmen, therefore, need to remember that before God, they are equal with you. God is both their master and your master who is in heaven. So church, there's only one Lord, right? There's only one Lord. There's only one master. And there's only one boss of the universe. In fact, you're not actually the boss. You're not the manager. You're not the team lead. Who is? God is. God is. You know, as we close, it's a very simple sermon. We hope that we will be productive as a church at our workplace. And as we close, you know, I love this. I just enjoyed this. Some of these men, you know, how they write scripture and quote it together is just unbelievable. They're just filled with the Spirit of God. And Brother Charles Spurgeon, he wrote this. He says, grace makes us the servants of God while we are still the servants of men. It enables us to do the business of heaven while we are attending to the business of earth. It sanctifies the common duties of life. Dear ones who are employers and employees, those of our dear ones even at home who are helping out at home. It sanctifies the human duties of life by showing us how to perform them in the light of heaven. Wonderful, right? And today we learned and observed a perfect balance. And so how fair and just scripture is addressing both masters and slaves, employers and employees. Martin Lloyd-Jones, he writes a quote about this passage and he says, Christianity solves societal problems by bringing people to the same position under God. It's not about the abolition of slavery. Christianity solves societal problems by bringing people to the same position under God. My dear brothers and sisters, as we close, God cares what you're doing from Monday to Friday. His eyes are upon each one of us. If you're working on Saturday, He's present there too. He's present when you're, you know, near that water filter or that coffee machine and your friends come around, or when your ratings have not gone well, or something sad has happened in the office. You know, His eyes are watching over you. Whatever position we are at work, employee or employer, we are working for Jesus. Please Him, serve Him, and glorify Him. Church, does the world see the expression of our commitment and obedience to Jesus at your workplace? And sometimes even beyond your workplace. You know, work just might just look like work, right? But when it's done for Jesus, it becomes worship to God. Remember, including myself and all of us, Christ is the Master and the Lord in heaven. God will reward you for your hard work. What a beautiful, I remember someone had mentioned the statement before. Martin Luther King, he says, if a man is called to be a street sweeper, he should sweep the streets even as Michelangelo painted, or Beethoven composed music, or Shakespeare wrote poetry. He should sweep streets so well that all the host of heaven and earth will pause to say, here lived a great street sweeper who did his job well. How profound. Citizens of heaven, how would God look at us? Would He approve of us the way that He would want us to live our lives as employees at a firm and employers who employ employees? Let's just pray and commit what we've learned before the Lord. Lord, we want to thank You for being with each one of us. Thank You for giving us a mind and strength and heart and willingness to work. And we come to realize it is not only for our needs, but Lord, You also want to, You want us to be involved in the world, Lord, and be there, Lord, and the lives that You've entrusted to us, Lord. Lord, we ask You to give us opportunities, Lord, to work in good places. At the same time, Lord, if You're placing us in difficult places, Lord, help us to do Your will. Help us to do Your will through our lives, Lord. Lord, allow us to work in fields and spaces, Lord, that our talents can be shown, our abilities can be shown for Your namesake, Lord, and we would bear fruit for Your kingdom, Lord. Kartave, we pray for strength. When we feel weak, or when we feel overwhelmed, Lord, even with some of us, Lord, sitting here and our dear ones, Lord, who are looking for work, Kartave, their eyes are set towards heaven, Lord. Many of our dear ones might be struggling at work. Many of our employers over here might be struggling at various things. Oh, Lord, remind us of Your unending grace, Your power. Lord, bless the labor of our hands and our team's hands. Give us diligent hands, Lord. Lord, give us endurance and resilience, Lord, so that we need to press forward. Lord, we confess that many times we've taken our labor or our work for granted. We have slacked. We've become lazy, Lord, sometimes. But Lord, as Your face was set like flint towards Jerusalem, Kartave, even when You knew that You would be put to death, Kartave, Lord, we pray that You would give us that kind of determination and diligence, Lord, oh, so that You would be glorified, Lord. We pray that You give us, help us, Lord, and we pray that You would help us, Lord, to have a heart of care, love, and a posture of Christ, even with the most difficult people at work. Help us to be faithful with the little and the much. May our work and our attitude glorify You. Lord, not reflecting of what we are capable about, but would reflect Your glory, Your holiness, Your inspiration, Your wisdom, and Your love that is instilled in us, Lord. Lord, we are just sojourners. We're just sojourners. We're looking forward to see You face to face. And Lord, even at our workplace, when we enter Your rest, You will say, well done, good and faithful servant, Lord. Lord, help us to be reminded that our ultimate reward is in your hand, Lord. Be with us as a church. Thank you for speaking to me and to us. We pray that we just not be hearers of your word, but doers of your word, Lord. In Jesus Christ, most precious name we pray. Amen.